Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor, and director of the Catholic community. This Sunday is the Epiphany of Our Lord, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Arise, for your light has come. Nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. You'll be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice. The abundance of the sea will be brought to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. They'll bring gold and frankincense. Proclaim the praise of the Lord. That prophecy from Isaiah speaks to a beleaguered people who believe that they're in a relationship with God and that they're precious to God, known by God, chosen by God. I believe all those things about myself and about you. Do you believe you're precious to God? That God knows you, has chosen you, is in a covenant with you? I hope you do. If you don't, come talk to me. Maybe I can work on that with you. Isaiah is speaking to this people, and he's saying this great event is coming, and you're going to be at the center of it. And all the nations are going to stream toward you. That was the dream. There's another place where it said, they'll say, what God is as good as your God? And they'll want to come and experience the holy because they know it can be found here. That's the dream. In the story, Herod, the king, he's king of a theocracy. Now, on top of that, there's the Romans. You know, they're an occupied people, they're a dominated people, but they have been able to have some kind of local autonomy, and their system before the Romans came was a theocracy, where the king was also the head of the religion and kind of a spokesperson for the people, even about all religious things, not just secular things. So in the story, Herod is this theocrat who has a stable of scribes and men learned in the law, in the scriptures. So you've got that. And then you've got this other elite. Sometimes they're called kings. They're certainly people with sufficient means that they can go on long trips. They can afford to give away gold. So they're people of means from wherever they come from. They find one another. They make this trip. And they're scholars. Sometimes they're called magi. The magi were mathematicians. And they followed the patterns of the stars in the sky. They were learned people. I think I'm talking to a big fancy room full of learned people. And people who, starting tomorrow, are going to get even more learned. Isn't that why you're here? I've spent my priesthood in campus ministry primarily because I want to be around people like you. Not just because you're smart and I can learn from you, although I enjoy that part. You are smart and I do learn from you. But I also like to be around people who don't let the fact that they're smart or privileged in some way go to their head. I appreciate the fact that the way research universities are set up, that the person who's at the front of the class in the morning, the one professing knowledge that's already been accrued, is passing it along to the next generation. Very often that same person in the afternoon is in the lab. Or maybe some of the students are also in that lab. Because the same person that knows enough to be called a professor and being paid to disseminate knowledge also is a person who knows that they don't know. That they know enough to be able to pass something of value along to another. But part of what they pass along is a kind of quest to be a lifelong learner, to know how to ask a good question, to know how to structure good research, and to have the heart that can hold both of those things in tension. I know and I don't know. And that both of those are true. I'm a Dominican. Part of the reason that I joined the Dominicans was we have this motto of Veritas, which simply means truth. We have four pillars of our life. We live it in common. Not every religious community necessarily lives a common life. Sometimes a religious community will have a kind of a rugged individualistic prayer life, for example. They'll go through this similar training, kind of marine-like, but then are sent out to do their own work. I didn't really want to belong to a group like that. I wanted to be a part of a group that considered itself, that its relationship to one another was important and not just utilitarian. So communal, prayerful, because prayer is one of the ways that we learn. We listen, we sit still in prayer and let God teach us. We don't just listen to our own thoughts and canonize them, but we sit still in prayer and let God speak to us. Study. For a Dominican, study is one of the four pillars because we can't say that we're about truth if we're not always searching for it, because it's never possessed whole and complete. Thomas Aquinas taught that everything that we can say about God, we have to remember that we're always working with a tool that's smaller than the thing that we're trying to study. We're trying to study God. God. With a tiny little pea brain. We can make ourselves as smart as we can, but we're always working with tools that are really not completely up to the task. How can you study the infinite with the finite mind? Nevertheless, it's important that we try and that we stretch, because we have a divine spark within us, and God can take us places we would have never thought we'd go. I think that was the theme of the Rose Parade. I was just down there. Oh, the places you'll go. This sense of expedition, exploring, it's at the heart of this feast. The heroes of the story are really smart people who are willing to put down whatever it is that's precious to them and go search for something else, because that something else is compelling to them and it has truth about it and it seems important. That's why I love being around you, because I think you live that way. And if you're thinking, he's not talking to me, I'm not very much like that. Well, get aboard. It's a new year. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Are there any old dogs out there or young dogs that act like old dogs? You can learn something new. The unfortunate part for Herod and for those in the temple complex was they thought that they possessed the truth. Dominicans have this motto, Veritas, and I've sometimes seen it approached that way, that, well, we possess the truth, and what we really need to do is make sure more and more people read the stuff that we write. You know, we need to bring more people on board. I kind of grew up with that in Texas. There was a kind of an evangelism among some of the Baptists in particular. It was very off-putting to me because they told me I wasn't a Christian. What they were saying was, you have to become like me before you can be a Christian. And sometimes I've seen Dominicans do that. You know, we possess the truth because St. Thomas said, you know, what we need to do is get more people reading the Summa. We need to turn more people into us. That's the way we'll do it. It just seems to me so full of ego. Universities can be full of ego, can't they? Have you had any experience of that? Of bombast? Have you? Have you participated in it or added to it? Ever felt like you needed to strengthen or protect your ego by making sure that you didn't look stupid? And that you didn't say something like, I don't know, in public? I think the wise men are wise because they know that they know a few things, but they know that there's an awful lot more that they don't know yet. And they're willing to do things like go outside the borders of their culture to learn from people unlike them. By the way, they were willing to go outside the economic lines. After all, they could give away gold, and they did own camels, and they did have the leisure to travel, probably with servants. And where did they end up? They ended up in a barn, a stable, a cave, learning from peasants. And nowhere in this story does it say they were furious when they found that at the end of the journey, all there was this filthy child in a barn. They didn't come with a preconceived idea of what should be at the end of that trail. They simply followed it. And when they got there, they did go and talk to Herod. They did consult. His scribes said, well, you'll find him in Bethlehem. He did go there and then found the child. And then, apparently, in the story, the Spirit then speaks to them and tells them, don't go back the same way you came. Go back a different way. I love that part. Because sometimes we scare ourselves. Life can be too complicated, and we want to hunker down or go back the way we came and play it safe. But life can only be lived forward. It always involves going somewhere we haven't been yet and having the courage to go there. It's best to have companions. It's not the feast of one king. There were three. They did that together. I hope that your experience at Stanford isn't just isolating, because I'm afraid a lot of it can be if you're not careful. You can spend so much time staring at that screen or learning so much about stuff. Have you ever heard the people laugh when somebody gets their PhD and the title of their dissertation is read publicly? You ever been at a graduation and heard that laughter? Because everybody in the room knows that nobody knows what that meant, except the man or the woman that wrote it. You know, there's that kind of silliness about it, as important and as august as the occasion is. There's also this other thing that, my goodness, how could anybody really understand that? It's good that we have companionship, and I hope that if as you're starting the winter quarter, typically at Stanford, this might be my seventh one, I've learned that a lot of people here think of the winter quarter as the hardest one. Do you think that's true? You're not going to say, huh? That it's gray and it's cold and it's rainy, and I don't know why, but well, maybe it's because there's not the enthusiasm of starting a brand new school year that gets you kind of going in late September, and you can't quite see the end of the trail the way you can when you're starting the spring quarter. You have to kind of slog through it. I'm hoping that if your time at Stanford is taking you too much into an individual search for whatever truth it is you're trying to learn about, that you come up for air and maybe avail yourself more of the community than you have heretofore. In any event, I think what we take away on the Feast of the Epiphany is the wonderful example of people who are bright, learned, have means, and we're willing to use all of that in the most humble, like egoless way. They'll search out whatever's true and go there and go in service. When you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, do that, not with a sense of pomposity that because we possess the goods, everybody should stream toward us and come on board and become like us. When we simply manifest the joy of knowing that we're loved inside out, through and through, that God does live in our midst, that God is in covenant with us, when we really manifest that, we'll manifest it the way that Jesus will when on the night before he dies, he takes off the expensive. So, well, he wasn't wearing expensive. He probably never wore anything even as nice as this. But he takes it off, rolls up his sleeves, and washes the feet of those around him. As we look forward to where this Christmas season will take us and where when we enter back into ordinary time, let's have the spirit of people that are looking for God to be manifest through us. And that maybe the thing that people will see when they see us is somebody who is secure in the knowledge that they're loved by their God, but who's always looking, always trying to learn something new, has the humility to know that there's a next thing that God might be saying to them, or a next direction that God might be taking their life. If you and I do that together, then we do what this word epiphany means, to show, to manifest. So if we're people of the epiphany, even when we're not trying to, when we're just being ourselves, we're a point of light. We're a little star. We're somehow guiding people in a direction toward a truth that the Lord might want to reveal, show to them.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.